Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all the inhabitants thereof. I want to say hello today and hope you're having a good day so far. This is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, and you are listening to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. This is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We always take a moment and invite you to come out if you're in the listening area, or maybe you live here and you're looking for a church to visit. We'd love for you to come and to visit with us at Mount Lebanon. It's good to have Noah in the studio with us today. He's here. He's been maybe here a week and miss a week, and here a week, miss a week, but good to see you. How are you?
I'm doing well, and I'm very glad to be here this morning. We do want to say welcome to all those who are listening in right here on AM 1450 WATA out of Boone, North Carolina. Those who listen in on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia. And those who listen in on KPGT 89.1 FM, The Truth, out of Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate all of our listeners, and we once again say how much we enjoy the opportunity to come this way. I hope you get a blessing out of it. We have been in a series on the subject of heroes of prayer, and we've been looking just week after week. One week we'll be in the Bible, one week we'll be looking at somebody, an example out of history. For example, in the past 2 weeks we looked at Elijah, 1 week the prophet Elijah, and then the next week, last week, we looked at George Washington, and we tied those two together with James chapter 5, verse 16, which is talking about Elijah as well. But it says in that verse, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And we talked about fervency in prayer. We talked about George Washington and the righteousness, how important that is, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. This week we're going to do something a little bit similar to that. We're going to use one character to introduce another. Today we're going to look at the prophet Jeremiah in the Bible, and that's going to lead us into next week. We're going to be looking at one of America's earliest missionaries, a missionary named David Brainerd. David Brainerd was part of the Great Awakening that took place just prior to the American Revolutionary War. So we're going to look at today at Jeremiah, and next week at David Brainerd. Now Jeremiah, without a doubt, is one of my favorite prophets. I want to say just a few things about him. One of the things that I first learned about Jeremiah many years ago was that God called him to be a prophet at a very early age. And Jeremiah put up an argument to the Lord. Have you ever done that? Have you ever argued with the Lord? Maybe the Lord was impressing on your heart to do something, and you said, well, not me. Let somebody else do it. I'm not able. I'm not old enough. I'm not qualified. A lot of times we argue with the Lord. Well, Jeremiah did that. And in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 6, when the Lord called him to be a prophet, he said, then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Get somebody else. I'm too young. I'm not old enough. I'm not qualified. That was his argument that he put up against the Lord. And in verse number 7, the Bible said, but the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee to speak, thou shalt speak. And so God, he called Jeremiah. The name Jeremiah means this, whom God appoints. And one of the reasons why I like Jeremiah so much is because when I was a young preacher, and well, even before that, and the Lord was dealing with my heart about the ministry that God was laying on my heart, a call to preach his word, I didn't know about Jeremiah. I didn't know anything about his call, but I was putting up the same argument to the Lord. I can't do this. I'm too young. Nobody will listen to me. I'm a child. And then I come across this in Jeremiah chapter number 1. And the Lord used that to speak to my heart that he knew what he was doing. Jeremiah means whom Jehovah appoints. It is God's business who he appoints, who he calls to do his work. Now, Jeremiah was a prophet, but he was also a patriot. And if you study in the Bible, you study about these Old Testament prophets, you will find that all of them were also patriots. They were on the side of the nation for good. And you know, a lot of times the king was actually one of the worst things that was going on in the country when the prophet came along. It was that way in Jeremiah's day. I mean, there were some good kings, there were some bad kings, but a lot of times there was bad kings, just like in our nation. A lot of times the worst thing going on in the country is the leadership. And that's the way it was when a prophet came upon the scene. So the prophet didn't necessarily come along and work hand in hand with the king. Many times he was in total opposition to the king and to the national leaders. And so these men were patriots as well as prophets. Jeremiah's prophecies, and we don't have time to deal with a whole lot of this, but generally speaking, are directed to the nation of Israel. And the key word in the book of Jeremiah is backsliding. And he deals with the backsliding of the nation of Israel. And there are many comparisons that we could make between Israel during this time frame that Jeremiah prophesied and our own nation in America. For example, in chapter 2, Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse number 13, the Bible said this, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." And so what Israel had been guilty of, they had forsaken the true and the living God. They had turned their back, they had backslid away from the God that had delivered them out of slavery down in Egypt, that had blessed them, that had given them a king when they asked for it, that had delivered them from the enemy's hands over and over and over again. And the Lord had prospered their nation and blessed their nation and made them the head and not the tail that it talks about in the book of Deuteronomy, made them a leader among all the nations of the world. God had made them a lender and not a borrower. That is a sign, by the way, of the blessing of God upon a nation. As we study this in the Bible, God will make a nation a lender nation and not a debtor nation. A debtor nation, a nation that runs in debt to other nations, is not as free as it thinks that it is. And there's a great lesson there for us in America today, because we are no longer a leader among the nations of the world. We are a borrowing nation. We are a debtor nation. But God had blessed the nation of Israel on every hand, and they had forsaken the fountain of living waters. They had forsaken the Lord, and they had hewed them out cisterns. That means an earthen vessel, an earthen pitcher, a jar, something like that. They had made them something else. And they had found out, or Jeremiah pointed out, that these new things that they had made to replace the Lord and the blessings of the Lord can hold no water. They had turned from what is good to what is bad. They had turned from the living God to other gods. And we're just like that in America today. We have forsaken the one that has blessed us, that has prospered us, that has delivered us in times of war, that has made us a head, not a tail, and on. I mean, exactly the same things could be said of America that we find Israel guilty of in the Old Testament. We have forsaken the one that hath made us and preserved us a nation. You know, that is in the second stanza to the song, "The Star Spangled Banner." All praise and power to the one that hath made us and preserved us a nation. Our forefathers recognized the hand of God in our nation's history, in our nation's affairs. In fact, last week when we were talking about George Washington, and he wrote a letter to General Thomas Nelson, and he said he must be worse than an infidel that cannot see the hand of divine providence in our nation. And then that's where he said, I'll have time to turn preacher when I'm done with this present appointment. But anyway, our forefathers, they recognized this. They knew that it was the blessing in the hand of God. Now, Jeremiah, he had the answer to the nation of Israel. And I've said this verse thousands of times down through the years. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse number 16. Here's what Jeremiah said. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where's the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Jeremiah said to the nation of Israel, you need to turn back to God. You need to turn back to the old paths, the paths that have been laid out before us that we've traveled in the past. And boy, if we turn back to the old paths, we would find rest for your souls. But now, their response to Jeremiah was this. They said in the last part of verse number 16, but they said, we will not walk therein. They just flat out said, we're not turning back to God. We're keeping these new ways. We've forsaken that old stuff, that old religion, and that old God, and we're going in the new way, and we're just not going to do it. I believe we're at that point in America today, although there are many that still cry out and say, you know, we need to turn back to God. We need to not forsake the Lord. I believe the general attitude of the majority of the people in our nation is exactly that. We're not going to do it. We're not going to turn back. We're going to stay on the path that we're on. Now, Jeremiah, something about Jeremiah, he prophesied his whole life, and zero convert, zero revival. I think the timeline for the book of Jeremiah is over 40 years. No converts, no revival, no spiritual awakening. Now, I want to ask a question today. How do you stay faithful in times like that? How do you stay faithful to the Lord and the Lord's message? Now, there was a time in Jeremiah's ministry where he told the Lord, I'm not going to speak or prophesy in his name anymore. And I'm paraphrasing a little bit here. And so he quit. You know, he said, I'm just not going to do it anymore. It would be very discouraging. In fact, I would say today, some of the most discouraging work in the whole wide world is to be in ministry. And I'm not pouting or trying to start a pity party or anything, but I'm telling you, it's not for wimps. If you pastor, if you're in full-time ministry, there's many things that can be discouraging to your heart. But how do you stay faithful in times of unfaithfulness? How do you stay faithful in times where there's a great apostasy across the land, where you can actually look back and say, you know, it's not always been like this. Once upon a time, it would be different if America had never tried to follow in the paths of the Lord, if America had never had any reliance upon the God of the Bible, it'd be different. But that's not the case. We can look back in recent history and see over and over and over again where our nation has called out to the Lord, has depended, relied upon the Lord to deliver us in times of emergency. How does a person not get bitter and begin to hate those that he's trying to help? And this is what I want to get to today, talking about Jeremiah and his prayer life. Here is the key. Oh, and I was talking about Jeremiah had quit, and he said, I'm not going to do it anymore. And then he said this, but his word burned within my heart. He got in the Word of God, and it revived, and it brought him back to the place where he did go out. He did not quit, but he wanted to. But how do you stay faithful in times like these? How do you not get bitter and hate those that you're trying to help? Here's something we find in Jeremiah's life. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse number 1. Jeremiah said this, oh, that my head were waters, and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Jeremiah prayed. Jeremiah said to the Lord that my mine eyes were a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. The key to staying faithful, the key to not getting bitter and hating people and just throwing up your hands and saying, well, whatever happens, it's good enough for them. That's what they get. That's what they ask for. The key is a ministry of tears. You may know this and you may not, but Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet, because we find Jeremiah not one time, but many, many, many times where he is talking about weeping, where he is talking about having tears. Now, there's no doubt a great deal of praying going on in our country right now. I have no doubt about that whatsoever. Now, should there be more? Sure, yes. There ought to be more praying. But I'm not going to say today that nobody's praying. There's a lot of praying going on. Praying goes on in churches across this land every week. There's a lot of true praying that is going on. I mean, it's from the heart. Many people see, they recognize. And there's orthodox praying, meaning praying according to the Bible. You know, they're praying, they're saying, Lord, we need revival. Lord, if you don't help us, we're lost. You know, there's a lot of true, orthodox, correct praying going on, asking for the right things. But I'll go on and say this. There's a lot of dry praying that is going on. Words are right. The thoughts are coming out of our head a lot of times are right. But it is so dry and so dead, it is tearless prayers. Prayers without any weeping accompanying going along, just dry praying. And I'll be honest, I'm not going to sit here today. I'm not going to stand here today. I mean, the same thing is true in my own life and my own ministry. Honestly, in years gone by, I can think back 16, 18, 20 years ago. I think back before we were called to be missionaries and went out west. I mean, there's a lot of water gone under the bridge since that time period. But I remember being in some revival meetings. I remember one time we went to a meeting up in West Virginia, and it was a God and country meeting. Oh, my goodness. I'm telling you, there was times during that meeting where there was hundreds of people there as well, people weeping, crying on the altar, got burdened for our country, praying that God would help us. I mean, it was an experience that would change your life. And I've not experienced that one time, but several times in years gone by. But it seems like as time goes on, there's less and less of that. Less times where we can actually get a true burden upon our heart for our nation. Now, how come it's like that? Maybe we're just not where we ought to be with the Lord. Maybe just getting older gives you a harder heart. But I'll tell you, there's a lot of things changed in the past 20 years. For one thing, it's too much news. All this news that goes on, you know, just a few years ago, people weren't carrying around phones and had all the news they could stand right at their fingertips. We're in the information times 10 age now. Too much politicizing of all events that goes on. You know, if anything happens in our country, it is immediately seized upon as an opportunity to point fingers and blame this person and that person. It doesn't matter if it's a natural disaster. You know, if it's a hurricane out in Oklahoma, not a hurricane, if it's a tornado out in Oklahoma or a hurricane down on the coast, you know, it's George Bush's fault. It's Bill Clinton's fault. It's Obama's fault, you know, and just all that bunch of junk that continually goes on. It hardens your heart. It makes you jaded. And what we see is the politicizing of it, but we forget about the people that are involved. What about them? Too many editorials. And I'll tell you, it'll dampen your spirit to read the editorial page and the letters to the editor in just about any newspaper. It'll make you, I don't know, it's just some of the things that are said. it'll make you want to throw up your hands and quit and say, I'll tell you what, if people are that dumb, we just get what we deserve in our nation. But in Jeremiah never lost his tears. He never got to that point that he said, you know what, just forget about them. Just forget about my country. Just forget about Israel. I'm just going to go sell camels. You know, he didn't do that. He wept all throughout his ministry. He never lost his burden for his people. Now, Jeremiah wrote two books in the Bible. There's the book of Jeremiah that contains his prophecies, and then there's a little book right after that. It's called Lamentations. It's only five chapters, the book of Lamentations. I sat down and read the whole thing this morning, the whole book, and it probably took me 30 minutes. I tried to read it through pretty carefully, and I was looking for some things. I was looking at Jeremiah's attitude. But the name Lamentations, to lament, it means this, a loud cry, such as, ah, how. And Lamentations, that's the theme of the book. Ah, how could this happen? How could this happen? In Jeremiah, he weeps for the nation of Israel. But in the book of Lamentations, the nation of Israel weeps for itself. Lamentations chapter 1 and verse number 2, Jeremiah said this. Now, chapter 1, right at the beginning of the book, it says, she weepeth sore in the night. Talking about the nation of Israel, what had happened? The Babylonian captivity had taken place. And Jerusalem had been destroyed, and the people had been carried away into captivity, and there was just a small remnant left, and there was a famine, and it was so bad that mothers were eating their own children. You read the book of Lamentations, and you'll find what a terrible, terrible state that they were in. You see, they never listened. That's that same crowd that said, we will not walk therein. And eventually judgment came, and the nation fell. Now, we all acknowledge there are certain physical laws of nature. Gravity, for example. What goes up must come down. Sunburn. I was reminded of that yesterday. I got out and I was mowing, and I come in at the end of the day, and when I was getting ready, you know, took my shirt off, I seen my neck, and I thought, oh my goodness, I got burned up. I forgot. You know, it's been winter time. Now the sun's out. You better watch out. You're going to get sunburned. It happens every year. I ought to know that. That's a law of nature. Water is wet. Sowing and reaping. If you sow corn, you're going to reap corn. If you sow tomatoes, you're going to get tomatoes. There are spiritual laws as well. These natural physical laws, you can't change them. Spiritual laws apply the same. Galatians 6 and 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And that is exactly what happened in the nation of Israel. They began to reap what they had sown. And Jeremiah described the situation like this in the book of Lamentations. He said, the crown is fallen from our head. Woe unto us that we have sinned. He looked upon the city of Jerusalem, that beautiful city, and all the grand buildings, and Solomon's temple had been there, and all the prosperity and all the beauty and all the blessings of the Lord. And so he looked at his nation and he said, the crown is fallen from our head. Lamentations. Oh, how did this happen? How did this happen? Here's what he said in chapter 3, verse 17. He said, I forgot prosperity. You see, they had been blessed to the point that, man, they it said during Solomon's day, that silver was in the street like stones. He caused them to be so blessed. They had prosperity on every hand. But in a very short period of time, Jeremiah looked around at the city of Jerusalem there and he said, I forgot what it was like to be prosperous. You see, in America, we think, well, it's just going to continually go on like it is. And man, people going to run up down the road and all the stores and all the shopping and all the buying and all of our riches and all of our resources. You know, it says in Lamentations that they got to the place where they were buying where they had to buy their own water, and their own wood was being sold unto them. Does that not sound like America? We're buying our own water. We're buying our own wood, our resources are going to other nations, and other nations are selling back what was ours free and clear to begin with once upon a time. But all of our prosperity could be gone. All of our playthings, all of our sports, all of our vacation spots could all be gone and will be gone if there is no change in the nation. It's hard to see all these things going on. And, you know, when I see people protesting about what bathroom they're going to go into, I think to myself, we are a nation that is spoiled rotten. We have too much free time on our hands that we could come to a place of such stupidity in our country that these are the important things when people are going hungry, when children are fatherless, when people's lives are ruined in so many ways. And this is what this is what's on the news every day. Much we could say about that. I see our time is quickly going to come to a close. I want to say this before we go off the air, though. In this aspect, Jeremiah and his tender heart, his tears, he is like the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35, the Bible says this, talking about Jesus. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. When the Lord Jesus Christ saw the multitudes, he didn't hate them. He didn't condemn them. He didn't dislike them. The Bible says he was moved with compassion on them. He felt sorry for them. He had a different heart attitude than even the disciples had, than certainly the religious leaders of his day had. He was moved with compassion on them. That is to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Jeremiah was like that. He said in Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 48, Jeremiah said this, "Mine eye runneth down with rivers of water for the destruction of the daughter of my people." He said, "Mine eye trickleth down and ceaseth not without any intermission." He was crying and weeping and tore up. He said, without any intermission. Now the key is in verse number 50. He said, "Till the Lord looked down and behold from heaven." He was going to cry. He was going to weep. His heart was broken over what was going on in his country. "Till the Lord looked down and behold from heaven." Boy, we need some Jeremiahs in our day and time. He said in verse 51, boy, here's a great truth from the Bible. He said, "Mine eye affecteth my heart. What I see with my eye affects my heart." We need to, as a nation, forget for a little while about Trump and Hillary and the Democrats and the Republicans and the bathrooms and all this stuff. Our nation is so full of hurt, so full of sin, ruined lives, broken families, fatherless and motherless children, despair on every hand. Boy, if we could get back to the old paths of the Word of God, how it would help us. Here's what the Bible says in Psalms 126, verses 5 and 6. "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed," that's the Word of God, by the way, "shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." We need some tears like Jeremiah had. Well, we see our time is quickly coming gone for the day. We do appreciate each and every one that listens in from week to week. Next week, we're going to be looking at David Brainerd. He was one of the early missionaries in our country. And my, what a heart he had for people. If we could get back to that, to where we had a heart for people and to pray and ask the Lord to help us, what a difference it would make. Well, Noah's going to come give the contact information.
You've been listening to Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wynn Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church that's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, you can reach us through our church website and our church phone number at 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596, or our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.